it'll all be over. Well, after a while, the sun's gonna shine. After a while, the clouds will pass over. And we'll shout hallelujah after a while. Oh, after a while, it'll all be over. After a while, the sun's gonna shine. After a while, the clouds will pass over. And we'll shout hallelujah after a while. Sing it now. Well, after a while, after a while, the cloud will pass over, and we'll shout hallelujah. Oh, sing it now, church. Well, after a while. After a while, we'll shout hallelujah after a while. Sometimes the road gets rugged. Sometimes the sun just won't shine. And sometimes that road gets so heavy. But we'll shout hallelujah after a while. Oh, after a while. Well, after a while. Yes, we'll shout hallelujah after a while. You know, Jericho stood still for a long time. And the people, all they did was march around it for a long time. But after a while, something began to happen. On the seventh march, on the seventh day, the walls of Jericho came tumbling down. Our walls are going to come tumbling down. We're going to be persistent in fighting this battle, aren't we? After a while, it's going to all be over. And you know what? After it's all said and done, you're going to say, I'm so glad I stayed in the fight. I'm so glad I stayed in the race. You love the Lord tonight? Give Him one more big hand clap of praise if you love Him. Let's sing it. I like you believe it with all your heart. It's real cold outside, but it's not going to be real cold inside. Do you love the Lord? Are you glad to be in the house of God? Did you enjoy the services over the weekend? Wasn't camp meeting wonderful? Well, welcome to camp meeting on Wednesday night. Somebody say praise the Lord. Now give Him another big hand clap of praise. After a while, we'll shout hallelujah after a while. Sometimes the road gets rugged. Sometimes the sun just won't shine. Sometimes our load gets so heavy. But we'll shout hallelujah after a while.
After a while, it'll all be over. while. Oh, after a while, it'll all be over. After a while, the sun's gonna shine. After a while, the cloud will pass over. And we'll shout hallelujah after a while. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Let's look at our prayer requests tonight. If you'll stand with me just for a little bit. We don't have that many. Brother Tim Arrowood wants us to remember Brother Richard Grills. I hope I got that name close to right, from Ohio. It appears he's had a heart attack. He is now in stable condition, so we certainly want to pray for that need tonight. We want to pray for George Campbell. We'll be having a treatment for cancer, so let's remember him tonight as we pray. I want to pray for Brother Tom Sproles with the virus flu symptoms. Let's pray, remember him tonight as we pray. Sister Linda Jablonski wants to offer this testimony. While the preaching of the word of the Lord was taking place on Sunday, she received her healing and deliverance, and she wants to praise the Lord for that. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I want to remember Sister Christine Baker tonight in prayer. Suffering from back problems. Let's remember her as we pray. Brother George Hamlin wants us to remember Sister King in prayer tonight. She's not feeling well. They were here at the service and she got sick. They had to take her home. So let's pray for Sister King tonight as we go to the Lord. Want to pray for Sister Susan Olive. They're going to be checking her for Bell's palsy. She sees a doctor tomorrow. So let's just pray that she'll get a good report, that all will be well with her. Want to pray for Sister Martha Johnson, who has a stomach virus and able to be in the service tonight. Brother Joel Moyer called and asked for prayer concerning some stress test concerning his heart. So let's remember that need tonight. There's a lot of flu, a lot of things going on. My voice is still, as you can tell, not really good, but it's probably as good as it's going to get tonight. It's going to get better tomorrow. It's going to get better every day. I believe that with all my heart. Footsteps is possession, isn't it? Amen. So we want to just commit all these things unto the Lord, all the folks that's suffering from colds and flu and different things that's going around. Let's just pray that God would be mindful of those folks tonight. If you would continue to pray for our little grandchildren, Andy and Jennifer's little girl, Emma, and their son, Drew. They're getting better, but they're still very sick, need a touch from the Lord. So if you would remember them in your prayer, I would appreciate that. Do you have an unspoken prayer request tonight? Something you'd like for this group to pray about? Brother Wade, would you come tonight, take us to the Lord in prayer? Let's just commit all these things unto our Lord. Do you believe we're serving a God that's bigger than all of our problems? Somebody say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's help Brother Wade as he prays tonight. Appreciate you, buddy. God bless you.
Let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, as we come to you this night, we know that we serve no greater King than you. Father, we believe and trust in you, and you have never failed us. We fail you, but your word tells us Jesus never fails. And we believe that, Lord. We take these prayer requests, Lord, before you, because we know that as we been taught, you are the healer, and by your stripes these are healed. We believe it and accept your word. We always stand upon your promises. You've brought us this far, and you'll see us through. May we always live for you, live a life that's pleasing to you, a life that we can always believe that Jesus has saw us through, and we believe it. We ask this night that you'll be with us all. We give thanks and glory to our King. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. If you're visiting here with us in the service tonight, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. All those that are streaming the service tonight, may God richly bless our brothers and sisters from around the world. Let me have your attention just to make a quick announcement. Now, you remember the old chairs that they used to put out? I believe they were called mauve, that color, maybe a mauve color. During the overflow crowds, they put the old chairs out. Well, they have several of those chairs that they would like to sell you. If you'd like to go by the library and talk to them tonight, they're at a very, very good price. And I think Brother Jimmy said they had about maybe 30 or 40 chairs left. If you'd like to purchase some of the old chairs, they have them over in storage, and you can just go by and talk to the library staff, and they can take care of that situation. Now, that's not the new brown ones. Don't get those confused. That's the old chairs that we used to use during the overflow crowd. So remember that if you'd like to pick one of those up. It's so good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. So good to be a Christian tonight. In Satan's Eden, I feel so proud and so thankful in my heart to be a Christian. Right here in the middle of hell, I am a Christian. How about you? Shake somebody's hand and tell them it's good to be a Christian tonight. He could have called 10,000. He could have called 10,000 angels, Brother Brad. Let's sing that tonight. Praise the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah. Lord of mercy, you froze up on me tonight, church. Somebody say praise the Lord. Now give Jesus another big hand clap of praise. You love him with all your heart. Hallelujah. He could have pulled 10,000 angels to destroy the world and say, but he died alone for you and me.
They bound the hands of Jesus in the garden where he prayed. Led him through the street. nailed him to the cross. His mother stood nearby. He said, "Woman, behold thy son." He cried, "I thirst for water," but they gave him none to drink. In the sinful work of man was done.
Brother Donnie said the other day, had he been the only one, he still would have done it. He loved you that much. Don't you appreciate that with all your heart tonight? Let's sing a little chorus just before we have Brother Brandon Green. If he would come to the platform, be getting ready to sing for us tonight, Brother Brandon. God bless you. We appreciate you, buddy. Love to hear you sing. You're a wonderful addition to this assembly, you and your family. And we sure appreciate them. Let's sing this little chorus tonight. God is good all the time. My worst day of my life, God was the greatest thing that ever happened to me. I'd rather serve Him and have nothing in this world than to live for the devil and have the whole world. I'd rather have Jesus, wouldn't you? Let's sing this little chorus as Brother Brandon gets ready tonight. Are you ready? Okay. I don't know if I am wrong, but we'll try it. Give me a key. Oh, God is good. You know He is. He's good all the time. God is good. Yes, He is. He's good all the time.
Search the whole world over. Don't greater. once in a while. He's good all the time.
Sing it like you believe in church. Oh my God, he's good. I know he is. He's good all the time.
Yes, he is.
My God is good. Yes, he is. He's good all the time. You can search the whole world over. No greater friend you'll find.
Oh, he's not good just once in a while.
Well, he's good all the time. You gotta say it one more time. Somebody say glory. Praise the Lord. You can be seated tonight, Brother Brandon. God bless you as you sing for us.
And did my Savior bleed? And did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Was it for crimes that I had done? He groaned upon the tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. No drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away, 'tis all that I can do. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Yes, at the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. And now I am happy.
day? What about nighttime? Really? Y'all drinking on something? Sipping on something? Hooked up, are you? Into the presence of God. God bless you. Let's turn to Jeremiah tonight, if you would. Book of Jeremiah, chapter 5. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 20. Declare this in the house of Jacob, and publish it in Judah, saying, Hear now, O foolish people, and without understanding, which have eyes and see not, which have ears and hear not. And let's read this verse 21 again. Hear now this, O foolish people, and without understanding, which have eyes and see not, which have ears and hear not. Now, Romans chapter 1, verse 30. Backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. Now, I want you to think of what a people could be. If you notice in both of these passages of Scripture, it didn't say they didn't have truth, didn't know truth, or didn't have a knowledge of God. But what they lacked was understanding. So, without understanding can be a very damning situation for a person to be into. I'd like to speak to you tonight on those two words, without understanding. Let's bow our heads together and pray. Lord Jesus, we love you tonight. We thank you so much, Father, that your grace has come to our hearts and our lives. Not just grace to save us, but grace to keep us, grace to enlighten us, to help us, Lord, in the time of need. We are so thankful, dear Father. We wouldn't even want to think of what our lives would be without you. Lord, I pray that you'd help us tonight as we look into the Scriptures. May we be benefited by our gathering together. Father, may we be enlightened, I pray, by the time and the season that we're living in. In Jesus' name. And the saints said,
Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. I'm sure that most of you are aware that there are different people who have been around the message that have either left the message, backslidden away from the message, or various websites that's being started up because of defectors or whatever you wish to call them. And I've been thinking for quite some time and waiting on the Lord and seeing if the Lord wanted me to say anything about it or not, deal with it directly, or just leave it basically alone. And I'd pretty much made up in my mind to not say anything directly as far as taking a service on it. But today as I was studying, I felt the presence of God come near me, and I felt His unction for me to look at it in this way. Lord willing, we'll resume next Wednesday night back in the Garden of Eden again. But instead of dealing with each particular issue that different people are bringing up, and for those of you that don't know, many people are saying Brother Branham basically was a liar. He was dishonest, that he said things that wasn't true, that he said something here and said something different there and there. And with some of the things that people are saying, I have to absolutely agree with that Brother Branham was 100% a man. I mean, it's true. I found out a long time ago, Brother Branham wasn't Elohim. He was a human being. So Brother Branham would tell a story here, he'd tell it there, he'd tell it there. He was a very gifted man, but one gift that Brother Branham did not have was 100% recall. To be able to tell a story the same way, identical, over a period of 40 years. Now, any of you that can do that, I certainly honor you. First of all, I'm probably going to call you a liar because I really don't believe it. So Brother Branham was a human being like all the rest of us in that respect. Many people are picking on such things and doing such things as that. Well, he said this here and he said this over there and said this over there, which shouldn't be any shock to us. We've known this for a long, long time. But what I'd like to look at tonight, by the Lord's help, is a principle that we would like to address and look at it from the eyes of Scripture. Now, I'm not going to use any quotes per se, but what we want to do is to be able to address it from the Bible and to be able to look and see, are there things written and said in the Scripture that would seemingly have a parallel meaning as it does when you would study the Message? Now, looking at this to know that things can be said in such a way. Now, first of all, Brother Branham never said he was infallible. Brother Branham never said the Message was infallible. As a matter of fact, Brother Branham tells us the exact opposite. I am not infallible. These answers may not be infallible, but it is people who have made him infallible. But we do believe the Bible is infallible. Right. Anybody believes with me the Bible is infallible? Now let's take the Bible tonight and let's look at some things. Now we'll parallel. We go from one book to another, some from the Old Testament to the New. And to all of these things now, I've accumulated many of these for many, many years, kept them in a file. And most of these I have an answer for and an explanation for, but I'm not going to give it to you. What I'm going to do is set forth in the same way from the Scripture the way people, attackers of the Message, are setting forth in the Message. Now, I want to show you and prove to you that by having an absolute place in the Scripture where we can point our finger and another place where we can point our finger without an understanding of those two places, we will make the Bible a very fallible book. Full of mistakes. The way people look at it. Now remember, many, many people who are infidels, agnostics, all these types of people. Many of them were raised in church and they were taught that the Bible is infallible until they begin to read it for themselves. And then they begin to find what they believe is mistakes, all kinds of things in there that doesn't line up. Then what do? Many of them start their own website. And then they start saying, why I'm against the Bible, 1,001 mistakes in the Bible. There's all kinds of them out there that you can go find. It's amazing that you find the same parallel now that is running right inside the Message that has been about the Bible for many, many years. Praise the Lord. Everybody okay now? Your temperature, your blood pressure, your heart rate all running good? All right. All right. Now, let's start. Genesis chapter 22, verse 1. Now, I'm going to just ask you many of these, like a little brief something in the form of a question, and then show you one scripture that seemingly sets forth one idea of this question, and then another scripture that will seemingly set forth the exact opposite of that. Now, remember, I'm not going to give you an understanding of these scriptures. I'm not going to give you the tying of it together. I'm simply going to set both or three of them forth, and I'm going to leave it hanging as people are doing about the Message of the hour. Well, supposedly Brother Bam saw a vision, 16 people would fall off of this bridge and get killed, and there's no proof that it ever happened. Now, we don't want an explanation of that now, is the way they say it. Either it happened or it didn't happen. So by leaving the explanation out and the understanding out, it makes Brother Branham look like a liar and the false prophet. But now let's see if those very same people will be able to take the perspective of Scripture and do it the same way, or would they want to render to us an explanation which would tie all these Scriptures together? And yet call you an unbeliever if you want to do the Message the same way. Praise the Lord. If you're still hanging around, I'd advise you to get out now while it's good. Now, watch. Let's look in Genesis chapter 22, verse 1. And let me begin by asking you this question. Did God tempt Abraham? And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. And said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. How many believes the Bible says that? Amen. So you think God tempted Abraham? Ah, y'all smart. Now you ain't supposed to do that in the first one. James chapter 1, verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he. So does he or doesn't he? But now, brother, no. No understanding. No explanation. Scripture with scripture. Quote compared to quote. Let's leave the explanation out. The understanding out. Because really, the explanation is no better than the person doing the explaining. Many of these questions in the message could be explained by God calling in if some of these people would simply ask. But you see, if you lose confidence in the messenger, are you going to have confidence in me if I'm still preaching him? Of course you're not. You're going to have any confidence in the rest of these message preachers? Of course you're not. Don't you see what you're doing? You let the devil cut you off. Cut you off. Has anyone ever seen God? Exodus 33:11. And the Lord spake unto Moses, face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. Now, if God spoke to Moses face to face, would you believe that Moses saw God? That would be the logical thing. John 1:18. And no man has seen God at any time. But brother, no. No explanation. Scripture to scripture. First John 4:12, again, no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Now, the age of King Ahaziah, when he began his reign, 2 Kings chapter 8, verse 26 says, 22 years old was Ahaziah when he began to reign. And he reigned 1 year in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Athaliah, the daughter of Omri, king of Israel. 2 Chronicles chapter 22, verse 2. 42 years old was Ahaziah when he began to reign. Okay, now, so which of these facts is a fact? 22 or 42? Now, you said that you believe this Bible was infallible. You do believe the Bible is mistake-free. Yes. You believe the Word of God is perfect. Yes. Now remember, there's explanations for all of these. And I have most of them, but you all don't. That's why you're sitting there looking at me so funny. Brother Donnie, this is going to shake my face. Oh, don't let it. There's explanations, but I'm just not going to give them to you. Can't you see how people can take things and put it in such a way, and what does it do? Makes these questions. Then if you don't go to the right source for the answer, it produces confusion. Praise the Lord. So, how old was he? Again, how old was Jeconiah when he began to reign? 2 Kings chapter 24 verse 8. And Jeconiah was 18 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 3 months. And his mother's name was Netusha, and the daughter of Elnath of Jerusalem. 2 Chronicles 36:9. And Jeconiah was 8 years old. So which is the fact? 18 or 8? Now, whenever people today find such things in the message, they want to convince me and you, Brother Branham was a false prophet. If that same rule don't apply to this Bible, you are a bald-faced liar, a deceiver, and a hypocrite. Since the message makes no claims of being infallible, and yet you say the Bible is, then the Bible should have no places like this in it at all. If we think we understand infallibility. Praise the Lord. Now remember, no explanation. Now look how this verse says this, that he actually started reigning when he was 18 years old. And he reigned in Jerusalem 3 months. Chronicle says he was 8 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 3 months and 10 days. Now let's look at accuracy. Does the Holy Ghost not know any difference in 3 months and 3 months and 10 days? I love this when the Holy Ghost gets the devil right up against the wall that way. Ooh, I love it. I love smelling fried devil hide. Man, it's more fragrant than a T-bone steak. Now watch. The amount of supervisors that was used in building Solomon's temple. 1 Kings 9:23 says, these were the chief of the officers that were over Solomon's work, 550, which bear rule over the people that wrought in the work. 2 Chronicles 8:10. And these were the chief of King Solomon's officers, even 250 that bear rule over the people. So here is this perfect, infallible book without a flaw that you tote under your arm, that you would tell people and be willing to die for, that there is no mistakes in this Bible. And I believe that too. But you see, what's missing? Understanding. Now remember the message and the messenger. We never set forth that he's infallible anyway. So you're going to find changes. You're going to find where Brother Bam said things wrong. He quoted things wrong, right? So what excuse are you going to make for the Bible? Now remember, there are people who will not serve God, who do not believe the Bible because of these things I'm reading to you. And they feel like this gives them a just cause to say that a God who cannot keep his word, how can I trust him? Maybe next Wednesday night you'll want the explanation of all of these things. Now watch. In Joshua chapter 24 verse 32. And the bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel brought up out of Egypt, buried they in Shechem. And a parcel of ground, which Jacob bought of the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver, and became the inheritance of the children of Joseph. But according to the book of Acts, chapter 7, verse 15, so Jacob went down into Egypt and died, he and our fathers, and were carried over to Shechem, and laid in the sepulcher that Abraham bought. So which one bought it? Abraham or Jacob? You said that confuses me, and I'll tell you why. Because you don't have the understanding that I have. And some of you probably have found this, so you have this understanding too. But for those of you that are don't, your eyes are getting bigger and bigger and bigger. I can't imagine how big they're going to get time we get done. They're going to look like basketballs. Now, little friends, can you see if we are not so careful that people will take, and I heard a man say it last night, that Brother Branham was dishonest in the way that he represented. Of course, this man's not a preacher. So when he studied to do his mistake finding and fault finding, he didn't know all the key words to look up. And he left out some key quotes, which would have explained the others that he was trying to tie Brother Branham a knot in. Praise the Lord. Now, watch this. How many sons did Jesse have? David's father. Many, but maybe not recall. But notice in 1 Samuel 17:12, David was the son of the Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse. And he had 8 sons. And the man went among them for an old man in the days of Saul. Now remember, David was the youngest of his sons, right? 1 Chronicles 2:13, and Jesse begat his firstborn Eliab, and Abinadab, and the second Shema the third, Nethiel the fourth, Radii the fifth, Ozem the sixth, David the seventh,
Praise the Lord. What's missing? The understanding. Now, I know what this answer is, but I'm not going to tell you. And we'll have these on the internet, so all of our enemies, I'll just save them the work of doing it. They can go look at it too. There is an understanding. But you see, the scripture doesn't always give the understanding itself. It takes gifts to bring the understanding, which is the way God set it up. Now, watch this. This one is absolutely amazing to me because they're so close together. Proverbs 26:4 says, "Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him." Verse 5 says, "Answer a fool according to his folly." So which are you supposed to do? I guess it depends on which fool you're dealing with. So if you were going to answer a fool, which verse would you take? One verse says answer a fool according to his folly. Another verse says don't answer a fool according to his folly. Where's the answer? The understanding. Glory. Oh, hallelujah. What's this? 2 Samuel chapter 24 verse 1. "And again the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he moved David against them to say, go number Israel and Judah." But 1 Chronicles 21, 1 says, "And Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel." So who was it? The devil or God? Once again, the answer lays in the understanding. Some of y'all are pulling the daylights out of me to try to get me to explain this, ain't you? You'll break my reason for bringing it this way. Now, whenever the people are numbered, watch how this works out. 2 Samuel 24:9, "And Joab gave up the sum of the number of the people unto the king, and there were in Israel 800,000 valiant men that drew the sword, and the men of Judah were 500,000 men." But 1 Chronicles says it this way. "There were 1,100,000 in Israel, 470,000 in Judah." "And Joab gave up the sum of the number of the people to David, and all they of Israel were 1,000,000 and 100,000, which is 1,100,000, that drew the sword, and Judah 430,000, which is 470. How could the Holy Ghost make such a drastic mistake? Now let's compare quote to quote, scripture to scripture. Let's compare Brother Ram telling a story here and one there and one there. And let's compare the exact identical principle to reading the Bible. Amen. Then let's bring it over from here and lay it over on the top of these Bible pages. Amen. To a book that we say is infallible. Right. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Now, when God goes to rendering the judgment upon David for this sin that has transpired, the plague breaks out among the people. I want you to notice in 2 Samuel 24:24, "And the king said unto Arunai, Nay, but I will surely buy it of thee." Now, this man has a threshing floor for sale, and he's going to offer sacrifice. But the man says, let me give it to you. David said, I'll not receive it. I'll not offer God anything that doesn't cost me something myself. Now notice the man's name. Arunai, nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. 1 Chronicles 21:25, So David gave to Ornan for the place 600 shekels of gold. So which man did he buy it from? And which price did he pay? Glory. Glory. The B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. Brother Donnie, you mean you've known all this and it ain't shook you? It shakes the daylights out of me. Every time I get under it, it quickens me. Oh, you meant shake my face. No! Goodness, no. It don't shake my faith. It quickens my body. You mean you still believe it? I've got way more than I'll ever even share with you tonight. I believe it more than I've ever believed it in all of my life. And I feel the same way about the message of the hour. Let people fall. Let them turn away. It ain't going to affect me. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now when Gad the prophet comes to offer David whichever choice that he would choose, whether by famine or fleeing from his enemies. Notice in 2 Samuel 24:13, so Gad came to David and told him and said unto him, shall 7 years of famine come unto thee in thy land, or wilt thou flee 3 months from before thine enemies while they pursue thee, or may there be 3 days pestilence in thy land? 1 Chronicles 21:12. Either 3 years famine. Now wait a minute, Samuel says 7. Understanding. Amen. It's a great thing, isn't it? Y'all ought to really appreciate it after tonight. Now, whenever Saul's daughter Michal laughed at David for dancing before the presence of God, there was a curse came on her, right? So she'd have no children. 2 Samuel 6:23, therefore Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no children until the day of her death. Yet 2 Samuel 21:8 says, the king took the sons of Rizpah, the daughter of Ai, whom she bare unto Saul, Armunah and Mephibosheth, the 5 sons of Michal, the daughter of Saul. So did she have this many children or this many children? I don't know if I've ever seen y'all this quiet. Did Absalom have children? 2 Samuel 14:27, and unto Absalom there were born 3 sons and 1 daughter whose name was Tamar. And she was a woman of fair countenance. Yet 2 Samuel 18:18. Now Absalom in his lifetime had taken and reared up for himself a pillar, which is in the king's dale. For he said, I have no son to keep my name in remembrance. You folks still have faith in the B-I-B-L-E? You people are a bunch of nuts. You mean these things haven't moved you? Can you explain them all? Hallelujah. How many stalls did King Solomon have for his horses? 1 Kings 4:26, and Solomon had 40,000 stalls of horses for his chariots and 12,000 horsemen. 2 Chronicles 9:25, and Solomon had 4,000 stalls for his horses and chariots. Now that's really not that big of a difference. Really, I mean 36,000. And yet if Brother Benham changes a story and adds 3 words to it or 5, people want to make him a liar. I'll point my finger in the direction of the liars. and it ain't going to be toward God's prophet. Watch, 1 Kings 9, verse 28. And they came to Ophir and fetched from thence gold. Now this is the gold that's going to be received to King Solomon to build his house on the temple of God. 420 talents, and brought it to King Solomon. 2 Chronicles 8:18. And Hiram sent by the hands of his servants ships and servants that had knowledge of the sea, and they went with the servants of Solomon to Ophir and took thence 450 talents of gold. Huh. So is it 420 or 450? I guess 30 ain't that big of a mistake, really. It's not near as big as 36,000. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. 2 Samuel chapter 10 verse 18 says, and the Syrians fled before Israel, and David slew the men of 700 chariots of the Syrians. 1 Chronicles 19:18. But the Syrians fled before Israel, and David slew the Syrians 7,000. So, was it 700 or 7,000? Now remember, if we're going to call Brother Branham a make-believer, a false prophet, a liar, you've got to do your Bible in a similar way. So pour kerosene on it and burn it after church. Take it in the dump and throw it away. And go ahead and do what's in your heart anyway. Be an unbeliever. Because a real believer believes whether they can explain it or not. Right. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, you say it's all Old Testament I notice, Brother Donnie. Well, now you're fixing to notice or turn into the new. Matthew chapter 1, verse 16. Let's find out who is the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary. And Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who was called the Christ. Luke 3:23. And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being as was supposed the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli. Understanding. Where did Jesus go after he was baptized in water by John? Mark chapter 1 verse 11 says, and there came a voice from heaven saying, thou art my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. And immediately the Spirit of God driveth him into the wilderness. But John says, chapter 1 verse 32, and John by record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I know him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same as he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. And again, the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples. Oh, okay. So Mark says immediately after he was baptized, he went into the wilderness. But here, according to John, Jesus is still hanging around the next day. So immediately must not mean immediately all the time. Maybe it means immediately after the next day. Now here he is the next day. Praise the Lord. Was John the Baptist Elias? Y'all believe he was? John said he wasn't. Matthew chapter 11, verse 13. For all the prophets and the law prophesied unto John. And if you will receive it, now remember this is Jesus. This is Elias, which was for to come. Now, John the Baptist now, whenever he answers what the people ask him, John chapter 1, verse 20. And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they ask him, what then? Art thou Elias? And he says, I am not. So Jesus says he is, and John says he ain't. Where's the answer? In the understanding. Now, some of you understand this part, don't you? You know, but if you only take scripture for scripture, take away, Brother Jim, your understanding of why this makes sense and look at it without an understanding. So truth is wonderful. Thank God for truth, but truth needs understanding. Or it don't do you any good, does it? Praise the Lord. Now watch, Matthew chapter 15 verse 22 says, "And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with a devil." Now Mark says this, chapter 7 verse 25, "For there a certain woman whose daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. And the woman was a Greek." Now you can't be a Canaanite and be a Greek at the same time. "The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation. And she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter." 2 Kings chapter 2 verse 11 says, "And it came to pass," speaking of Elijah, "as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire, horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven." How many believes he went to heaven? He ascended up into heaven. How many believes Enoch went up into heaven? St. John chapter 3 verse 13, "And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that come down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven." So according to the words of Jesus, without understanding, Elijah didn't go to heaven. Neither did Enoch. Oh Lord, give us understanding. Matthew chapter 27 verse 7. "They took counsel and bought with the potter's field to bury strangers." Now look, this is after Judas has denied the Lord Jesus and sold him. Brought the money and throwed it down. Verse 8. "Wherefore the field was called the field of blood unto this day. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, And they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value." But the problem is, Jeremiah didn't say that. Zechariah did. Zechariah chapter 11 verse 12. Dear God, even the preachers is passing out on me. Look now, according to Matthew, Jeremiah said this. But according to the Old Testament account, Zechariah chapter 11 verse 12, "And I said unto them, If you think good, give me my price, and if not, forbear. So they weighed me for my price, 30 pieces of silver. And the Lord said unto me, Cast it unto the potter, a goodly price that I was prized out of them. And I took the 30 pieces of silver and cast them to the potter in the house of the Lord." How is it that Matthew wrote that Jeremiah? So are we going to call Matthew a bald-faced liar? So what are we going to say? Most of us ain't going to say nothing, are we? I mean, at this point, we're afraid to bat our eyes. Praise the Lord, saints. What color robe did they put on Jesus? Matthew chapter 27 verse 28 says, "And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe." John 19:2 says, "And the soldiers planted a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe." Now this isn't the same family, but it is not the same color. So which one are you going to call a liar? John or Matthew? Praise the Lord. You're going to leave the Bible now? You're going to leave the Bible the way folks are leaving the message? Why not? Got two standards, do you? Praise the Lord. Well, now when Jesus was hanging on the cross, what did they give him to drink on the cross? That's only one place, Brother Danny. Matthew 27:34, and they gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. Mark 15:23, and they gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh. But he received it not. So now according to Matthew, they gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall, and he tasted it, but would not drink it. But Mark says they give him wine mingled with myrrh, and he received it not. Now this is your sacrifice's last few moments on the cross. Surely what happens there is important. How long was Jesus in the tomb? Matthew 12:44. As Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Now remember who this is speaking. Jesus himself. Matthew 16:21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and shall be raised again the third day. But now wait a minute, over there a few chapters prior to this, he said he spoke, now Jesus himself saying this, he's supposed to be in there not only 3 days, but three nights. But here he says he's supposed to rise on the third day. Matthew 17:23, and they shall kill him, and the third day he shall rise again. How did Judas die? Matthew 27:5, and he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. Acts 1:18. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and his bowels gushed out. So which was it? Did he throw himself off of a cliff? Or did he die by hanging himself? Now don't get nervous, friends. There's understanding to all of this. That's why I ain't nervous, because I know the understanding. Now, watch. When Jesus raises from the dead, in Luke 24:3, they entered in and they found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Two men stood by them in shining garments. Matthew 28:2. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven, angel of the Lord, came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. So Luke says there was two standing. Matthew says there was one sitting. But Brother Donnie, those things don't matter. Really? They don't matter. So it doesn't matter whether it's sitting or standing or 36,000 or 5,000 or whatever. It don't matter. Yet Brother Bram tells the story and calls this evangelist name Daniel Greenfield over here and calls him this over here somewhere else. These bunch of hypocrites will say he's lying. And pack this Bible under your arm and say, I believe every word of it. But Brother Donnie is all told different every time he tells a story. Yeah. Sort of like the book of Acts on Paul's conversion. It was told three times and told three different ways every time it was told. I'm sorry, friends. You folks should spend more time in your Bible instead of other trash. and you know these things are there. Can I go a little bit farther? Thank you. Acts chapter 9, verse 4. You might say no. Acts chapter 9, verse 4. Now watch. Word for word, verbatim, according to what happened to Paul. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Same experience told in chapter 22, verse 8. And I answered and said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I'm Jesus of Nazareth. That ain't what he said in the verse above. As a matter of fact, he never mentions the name Nazareth. So did Jesus say he was Jesus or Jesus of Nazareth? In chapter 9, Paul said that he said it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. But here he didn't say that. Chapter 9, verse 6. And he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. The retelling of the same story, chapter 22, verse 10. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, Arise and go into Damascus. That ain't what he said at all in chapter 9, verse 6. Unless, of course, as Paul began to write this years later, he wrote it and told it with the understanding of current events. Uh-oh, I dropped a little understanding there, didn't I? Now, if we're going to compare verbatim, word for word, we've got a major problem here. Just like you do when you go to seeing David, whenever the prophet comes and tells him, you can't build a house for me, but your son will build it. But you watch David years later as David tells that story after Solomon is born, and David will include Solomon's name in the prophecy when the prophecy never mentioned his name. So David retells the story with the current understanding. And when the prophet said it, he said, your son. But when David tells it, he gives the son's name. Is he adding to it? He's only telling it in present tense. That's why in Brother Man's visions and this and that and the other, he would say this. And whenever he sees the seven angels, he said, first says in 62, he said there was either five or seven. I couldn't tell. Then as he went on, he began to see what? Seven. Why? Happened to him. Then he could tell it from a current understanding of what the vision didn't make clear. I get so sick of folks criticizing this prophet of God and his message, who had tens of thousands of visions, and most of them ain't even had a bad dream. They ain't never had a vision in their life, and they want to tell us how a vision ought to be. They don't know a bit more better than a jackrabbit would on an oil rig. They got about as much business trying to study the word and tell us what to do. Come on, children, it's the truth. They don't have no place to handle the word of God. Do you understand what it's going to lead people to? I hope and pray there's mercy for some of them, but I'm afraid many of them have crossed the line. They're handling God's word as if it was some sort of toy. Notice Acts chapter 9, verse 7. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. Acts chapter 22, verse 9. And they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. Uh-oh. Now, wait a minute. You know, they asked Brother Bram this question, question answer 64, and he couldn't even answer this one. Praise the Lord. Now, is this what your Bible says? The man which journeyed with me, Acts chapter 9, verse 7, stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. Chapter 22, verse 9, they saw the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice. So did they hear it or did they not hear it? So who are you going to call a liar? Luke or Paul? The third telling of the story, Acts chapter 26, verse 13. At midday, O king, I saw a way, in the way a light from heaven. above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me, and them which journeyed with me. Now watch, this third telling is entirely different. He's now more descriptive. He's now more explanatory of the way it's going to happen. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me saying, in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul. He never mentioned this before. That was in the Hebrew tongue. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus. What was it? Did he say Jesus or Jesus of Nazareth? Whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand on thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee. He never told this in these other two places. Understanding. Listen, children, as we go on in time, our enemies will become more subtle, and our main enemy, the devil, will enlighten, he will expound, he will be able to do everything he can to pull our hearts away from this revealed truth of this hour. So folks that's going to leave the message, what doctrine of the Bible are they going to leave? Salvation by the blood? That's what the message teaches. They're going to leave water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus? That's what the Bible teaches. Are they going to leave the doctrine of one God? That's what the Bible teaches. Are they going to leave the doctrine of sanctification? That's what the Bible teaches. Are they going to leave the doctrine of justification? That's what the Bible teaches. Are they going to leave the doctrine of God sends prophets to the earth? The Bible does teach that. Are they going to leave the doctrine of the rapture? The Bible teaches that. Are they going to leave the doctrine on and on? Which doctrine in leaving the message are folks going to leave? For most of them, I'll tell you which one it'll be. Holiness. Holiness. Scissors will be drugged back out and the britches will be drugged back out. And they'll say they're free. The free. Oh my. They're so free. I don't want that kind of freedom. Come on, children. It'll be the women that'll go back. It'll be the men that'll go back. Holiness. Holiness has always been one of the sticking points of this message. And it always will be. They're going to leave predestination. They're going to leave election. Oh, no, no. That's the Bible. That's the Bible. That's the Bible. That's the Bible. Exactly. And so is holiness the Bible. But if you look at these things without understanding and apply exactly the same principle. Now, Brother Branham was 5 years old when he had the vision of the bridge. You and I both know, more than likely, he was not able to remember that vision. So he must have told that vision to somebody. And they told him when he got older. And remember, when we hear Brother Branham repeating these visions and prophecies, none of us have ever seen the book that these visions were written down in. What we are hearing is Brother Branham's recall. The same recall that would call a man Daniel Greenfield or call him Daniel something else. The exact same recall. So for people to try to come and say, well, he prophesied this, you don't know exactly what he prophesied. What you're hearing is what he told by recall. Immediately when this service is over, I'm going to pass a microphone around, and I want each one of you to give me 100% recall of the scriptures I just read. And if you can't do it, I'm going to call you a liar. No, that's not fair. I agree with you, it's not fair. You don't have 100% recall. I don't have 100% recall. Moses didn't have it. Jeremiah didn't have it. Brother Branham didn't have it. God's the only one that's got recall. And when God sent all of his seeds out by predestination, he'll recall them all. Boy, it's a good one. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You see, friend, God watches over his word, but not in the way we think. God keeps his word. Every word of God is perfect and infallible, but not in the way we think. God doesn't write it in a linguistic ability with it. A preacher, remember, this Bible went back and forth from one translation to German to English to this, that, and the other. But do you believe God watched over His Word to give us a roadmap? Sure He did. Did God know these things were in there to make it look that way? Sure He did. And you mean He allowed it to be printed? Sure He did. How many of you would like to take the span of your life, the same span we have of Brother Branham? Let's start recording what you say. From the span of 1947 to 1965. See how much continuity you got. I'll tell you one thing, you wouldn't find much continuity in me from one year to the next because I'm growing. There's things I preached last year, probably I ain't going to preach this year, Brother Dale, because I see it different. And you'd say, Brother Donnie, I was going back and I heard you say so-and-so in a service a year ago and you changed. Praise God. Praise God. Why? Because I'm growing in understanding. I'm growing in knowledge. I'm growing in it. And then my whole life with God. Don't you want to grow? So I'm going to say it in such a way that it's going to be greater enlightenment on it. Let's stand. Praise the Lord. Can't you see why we need a preacher? Can't you see why we need gifts in the body? To help us. Understand, sir.
Well, you didn't help me understand. You fun confused me tonight.
Well, you'll understand it better by and by. Thank God for revelation. Now, you realize revelation is different than understanding. Can't you see why we need revelation? And understanding to take things of the Word. Friends, there's many things that Brother Bram said. I can't make it all tie together. But you know what amazes me is? These forums and these websites and all that, it's amazing that they don't want to attack that prophet when he's standing there having them live visions right there on the platform. Your name is so-and-so, step so-and-so to your house, your doctor so-and-so, heavy-set man, hat on, glasses. Oh, they steer away from that. It's not the sign, it's the voice they're after. The sign's good, but the sign ain't gonna get you out of here. It's the voice that we take the rapture by. Can't you see why Satan is attacking the voice? Not the sign. They honor the sign. Pentecost honor the sign. Benny Hinn honors the sign. Go on YouTube and type in Benny Hinn and Branham. You hear Benny Hinn speaking more respect of Brother Branham than you do some of these people that's been around the message. Honoring what though? The sign, the discernment, the gifts. What do they all say when all fat? The word. After 63, they say something happened. Amen. It sure did. Them seals come open. Hallelujah. But Brother Donnie, I found out Brother Brown preached stuff that Clarence Larkin preached. Really? Me too. And Luther and Wesley and Calvin and Finney and Finney and Knox. That was his ministry, to gather the loose ends. We're the ones who's made this up that he began all this stuff. He never began this stuff. He was to turn our hearts back to the faith of the fathers.
Well, here I thought all this time, he got it directly from God. And somebody read it to me out of Clarence Larkin's book. The Clarence Larkin said, 600 miles past the Mississippi, from Maine to Florida. I thought that was an original Kentucky statement.
Somebody lied to you. Some of these preachers, some of y'all have sat under. This tried to make Brother Branham absolutely everything and do away with all these men of God that's lived before us. And remember, it's message people that done that, not Brother Branham. As a matter of fact, you'll find Brother Branham in them platforms he'd go to, and them older men would sit behind him. He said, these men paved the way so I could stand here today. And he said, we're paving the way now for those that will come on. That's the way Brother Branham taught it. But it's message people. Oh, they didn't have nothing. They're all trash. No, they're not. So we go on in time, the more you're going to find that Brother Branham pulled from this man and that man. And they were so close to the truth that Brother Branham would write down their notes nearly word for word. You know what that proves to me? Them men had that much truth and they were that close. Yet they could be that close on certain things and be as far off as they could be on others. Glory! But you know what that means? That means them men and those people that were faithful will come right up and make that part of the body of the rapture. It's not just for message people, friends. It's for the elect down through the ages. Hallelujah! God bless you. Let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, I pray tonight, Lord, that you would help these people. I realize this service won't be just heard by them. There'll be people that will listen to it and criticize and get mad and whatever. It's amazing to me, Lord, that many of these people that have left and yet they say they're closer to God than they've ever been, and their spirits are so filled with bitterness. And that's closer to God. I don't want nothing to do with it, Lord. Any revelation, anything I get, if it don't make me more like you, then I need to reevaluate that revelation. So I pray, dear God, as we look at it, that you would help us. I can't explain all the things that I've run into. Lord, and you know I've got a file that I've accumulated for years and years of changes in the message and things that were said this way and that way. I very rarely even share it with people because for some it would devastate them. Because people have made a God out of Brother Branham. But Lord, how thankful we are. To me, it's a greater miracle that you could use a man that was not a great educated scholar. It wouldn't be a great thing if you'd use a man that stood up, had perfect English and perfect recall and had made no mistakes. But there was no such a person. Father, but you took up this lump of clay, a Kentucky dirt. Let him go to the seventh grade, but give him experiences, visions, supernatural miracles that no other ministry on the earth ever surpassed it. I've read of the life of Jack Coe and A.A. Allen, Oral Roberts, and many men, even many men today alive. But there was something about this man that was so different than all the rest. And I realize for many of those who are accusing him today, they were not with him. They were not around him. So they're taking his words and trying to crucify him with his own words. Most of us were not around him either. But because we have understanding, we're not taking his words and trying to crucify him. We're just trying to balance it all out. Help us, Lord Jesus. I fear for many of these people, Lord. Because I know the next stage, it won't be just leaving the message. It'll be leaving you. Totally. There'll be more and more questions raised. Because many of them are angry at Brother Branham. They're just taking their vent out on Brother Branham and the message. Blaming Brother Branham and the message for all their stuff. But really, it's in them. It's in them. Many of them got hurt and this and that and the other. And now they're giving vent. And it's rage just boiling out of them. But they won't stop there. They'll find this and that and the other. Before long, they're not even sure there'll be a God. That's why all these websites are out there. It's not so much against the message. There's way more against the Bible than there is the message. The Muslims, many atheists, freedom from religion websites, all kinds of them. All kinds of them. Thousands and thousands of supporters that are against this Bible. Because of some of the very scriptures I've read to you tonight. They lack understanding. Lord Jesus, thank you that we can read these same things
And it don't drive us away. It drives us closer to you. Because we want you to whisper to us the secret things, Lord God. I'm glad my faith can look at things that look like questions and even remain questions. And yet it don't shake my faith at all. It might my intellect or the outside part, but it's something that's anchored deeper than that, Lord. Praise God. Lord Jesus, bless your children tonight. Father, I pray for those that are being affected by all these negative things. No doubt there's some of your children out there that hear these things and they don't know what to believe. So I pray that you'd help them, dear God. We know you'll not lose a one. And yet no doubt it's time again for Lot to pull away. I imagine when Lot left that he could recall a lot of mistakes that his uncle prophet had made along the way. He backslid and went down to Egypt. That was a really bad mistake. He thought that Ishmael was going to be the heir. That was a really bad mistake. He laughed at God. That was another bad mistake. I'm sure that Lot could remember all kinds of mistakes that the prophet of the age followed, that he followed. And yet when he went away, he began to think about it. But we know there was always something in Miss Lot that she leaned toward worldliness. I imagine that day they pulled up and left out of there, she never felt such freedom in all of her life as she left out the message that day. She went down to the department store and bought her some breeches, bought her some of them sexy tops where she could wear out on the street. And I imagine she dressed up an old Lot, thought she was so pretty. They felt so free. But Lord, I wonder, sometime from that, when their home was all stricken, homosexuals was all around them, degradation come in their family, she dies, his daughters become so low that they lay with their own daddy. I wonder if they felt free then. Help these poor people that can be touched, Lord, that's been affected by this stuff. Help them to realize they're not making a choice just for themselves. Lot's choice affected his children. Lord Jesus, and help us, those of us who believe the truth, help us to have and maintain the right attitude, Lord. I know it pulls on us. Some of us want to argue and debate and fuss, and people wonder why I don't get on these sites and prove this and prove that. Lord, your prophet taught us, God's children don't fuss because God don't fuss. Brother Bram did not believe in debating. I'm not going to waste my time getting on a lot of these forms and debating and arguing to people whose minds are already made up. I'd rather spend that time studying on sheep food. Lord, help us. I remember Dr. Best when he gave the invitation to Brother Branham to come and debate. Then when Brother Branham refused him, he called him a coward. Same spirit's alive today. That's what people would say. Oh, they're afraid. They're afraid. We're not afraid of anything. We're afraid of you. We fear you. We fear no people. We don't fear men. But as Brother Branham said, I would not give up that feeling I have in my heart toward the Lord Jesus to debate with somebody. Help these people who feel pulled that way. Help them to realize they cannot debate day in and day out and maintain that feeling in their heart toward the Lord Jesus. That means more to me, Lord, than proving my point. We love you, Father. Lord, there's many among us that's sick and afflicted. Some home tonight, Lord, couldn't come to church. I pray you'd move for them, Lord God. Different needs among us. We worship you, Lord. Give us understanding, Father. Hallelujah. Do you love him, saints? Let's just raise our hands in his presence now. Let's just worship him a little bit. Hallelujah. Don't worry. Any of these scriptures tonight that I've read, if you need the understanding of it for your journey, God will give it to you. If you need to understand the difference between 36,000 and whatever more, it'll be there for you. Most of it is not, it's not essential for your walk with God.
But let's keep our hearts anchored and rooted in the love of God. Amen. We love you, Lord Jesus. We love you, Lord Jesus. Let's just worship Him now just a little bit before we go. I know you got work tomorrow and your children got school and all of that. Oh, I appreciate Him for giving me understanding. Don't you? I sure don't understand as much as many, but I'm grateful for what little bit I do understand about Him. Not just grateful for what I can read or what I can hear, but what I can understand. Praise be to God. And the prophet tells us in the Easter seal, if He is a true eagle in the last days, He will understand His position. Praise God. Hey, let's sing a little something before we go. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord God. Hallelujah.
Can't you see?
Thank you, Lord God.
Why I'm so happy.
Hallelujah. Oh, yes, Lord.
I've accepted the word of
together now.
Can't you see?
Oh, why
I'm so happy.
Can't you see why we're happy? Oh, praise be to God.
I've accepted the word of the Lord.
Oh, sweet Jesus. Service this weekend, saints. God bless you.
Oh, can't you see?
Through all the heartache and all the trouble,
I'm so happy.
Yeah.
I can believe.
Oh, glory. I've accepted the word. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for Pentecost. Thank you for your prophet, Lord God. Come to turn our hearts back to the original word, Lord God. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord Jesus.